Got them all over the shop. Mentally, physically. I got 28 points. That's good. That's good.
You got actual no goals. You have one assist, and that was it.
Oh, my God. This is the second time this season I've had a no-goal week.
Really?
That's, like, impossible.
Yeah, this is your fourth 3 million-plus game week rank.
I'm so actually bad at this game. Is this my lowest? Let's see. Yeah, this is my worst game week rank of the season. Wow.
That's bad.
One transfer.
Out all your points.
All points out. Green arrow, 100% if I have Siggy, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What did he get, like 15 points or something?
I think he had goal, assist, max bones. He had like 11 or 13.
Yeah, it's his biggest haul of the season, I think.
Yeah, tied four.
Wow, that is awesome. Yeah, you look at his game log and it literally bookends the time that I owned him. Mm-hmm. It's like I got him after his last 13 pointer, then it was 2-2-2-2-7-2-7, and then 13. That's good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, I guess I'm ready to start. You ready?
Yeah.
Welcome to FMLPL. I'm Alon.
It's Walsh.
Let's kick off with some housekeeping. Please go ahead, give us a subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. Follow on Twitter. I knew you were to fucking start laughing. Subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at FMLPL. Email and rate my team's other shit to FMLPL@gmail.com. Check our website, FMLPL.com. We have league info, links to our team, social media, store stickers, and ringtones. Also on our website, we post lineup lamentations before every game week, pick our starting 11s, captains, and more. Lastly, shout out, still top of the table, Anton Johansson, kind of pulling away. He's a festival. Let's go to our teams.
I got a green arrow. It was
huge.
I think it was mainly due to the best punt I've taken all season, bringing in the Welsh Messi, Aaron Ramsey, 4 weeks ago. He's returned under 2 points per game. When he got injured yesterday, I was about to throw my computer against the wall, but I came back from the dead today with the Yaya Penn, Crouch, 9-pointer. Not a lot. I mean,
finally, you know, Sterling gets a pen called.
Yeah, first time in 3 games, even though it could have been the third time in 3 games. But basically, I had Heaton, Yaya, Crouch. That was it. I got 42 points with the -4 accounted for, and I'm up back up to 67K. So getting a green off of a triple tranny hit felt good. Very low scoring week, but
very low scoring. I'm just looking at the stats now. Top 10K averaged 35 points.
Yeah. So again, I mean, I got 3 returns on my team. I captain Kane instead of Alexis, so 2 points lost there, but. Between Heaton, Yaya, Crouch, a bunch of blanks across the board, I sat on 42, which was good enough for a green this week, and it lets me lick my wounds and reassess for the weekend. How'd you do?
Good lad. I'm a fucking mess, dude. I had my lowest game week rank of the season, 3.6 million. I'm almost like last in the world this week. So the top 10K average, 35. I had 28 points, which is just such a joke. I got 0 goals, 0 cleans. I had 0 anything. I got an Alexis assist and Grant 2 save points. That's the only, no, 1 save point and a BAP. Those are the only points I got. I captained Ali. He got a clean sheet. That was huge for me. So Ali reined in with 6, massive haul. And then everyone else blanked. My one transfer was Siggy out. Everyone's laughing at home. Cue the laugh track right now. Siggy out for Ali, who I captained. So lost like 13 points there. He has his biggest, tied for biggest haul of the season. Obviously, the week I get rid of him, everything goes wrong. Phil Jones gets injured on 55. Jogs off and looks completely fine on, under his own power, by the way. It wasn't like, yeah, it wasn't like he's like fucked. Oh my God. Even on, I saw on Twitter, it was like minor injury, like probably nothing. I'm like, great. Giroud hauled off at half. Everything was just fucking horrible, dude. So bad. I can't believe it. So I'm down 60K. I feel like
tell me what you feel. Let's go on the Adam Freud Walsh cast. Yeah. And tell me what you feel.
I don't even know. I haven't gathered my emotions yet. I'm still a very lost boy in this moment. But I feel like I almost foreshadowed this last week because I was talking about, what did I have? I had three greens in a row. But I remember saying on last week's pod that it's very deceptive because they've been such minimal gains. And the last, the red arrow I got before the three games in a row was like, again, like 60K or something. So that just seems to be the rhythm of my season showing itself again this week. Okay. It's like, I get these like little gains. I have some good guys. I make some like decent moves, maybe hit a captaincy or something. And then I just get a fucking 3.6 million game week rank. I'm in like the fucking negative percentile of the world. Like, there's so many dead teams that probably just doubled my score this week. It's just, why do I even play, let alone have a pod? But yeah, I mean, it's been brutal. I feel like I'm just bad at the game. Like, it's hitting me hard right now. Like, I just feel like I'm okay at talking about footy, and I know what's happening in footy, and I love watching footy, but when it comes to actually playing this fucking game, I am just an absolute nightmare this year. Everything I've done is bad. My team is bad. I'm bad. If my team's bad, therefore I am bad. There's a famous philosopher once said that, I think. I'm bad, therefore I'm bad. Ugh. I think, therefore I'm actual bad.
I hate hearing you so down.
it's bad, dude. Like, yeah, just everything I was building on. Save my transfer, all good. Get a Spurs player, Holmes, Sunderland, everything good. Felt so good going in. I was like, yeah, my team is finally performing. Getting in fucking Spurs at Sunderland, whatever. Getting in a Spurs player. When was the last time Spurs blanked? Actual question.
Probably the last time we both owned multiple attackers from their team.
Yeah, that is the last time.
1-0 United, was that
no,
a win or a
the loss? The last time...
Game week 15
at United, mm-hmm. Yeah, 1-0. And before that, it was game week 9, 0-0 Bournemouth. They didn't even, like, Kane wasn't even playing there. You know, it's like, how...
They blanked twice all year.
Like, how is it even possible? It just shows how unpredictable we pretend this predictable game actually is. Not that I'm not trying to say that I'm getting ridiculously unlucky or something. I'm clearly just bad and everyone else is doing better than me, but like, how is that a 0-0? Like, what the fuck happened? Like, just couldn't make less sense to me, but yeah, that's just how it's been going. I knew Giroud was a risk, but I thought, you know, one more week, home Watford, easy fixture. Arsenal should properly do them. Yeah, the over-unders in the Arsenal and the Spurs game were both like 3.25, which is like as high as you'll ever see in footy. And it was just like joke. Combine those two games, 3 goals. Good. Good life.
I think it's kind of a tough thing because you make good decisions, but the amalgamation of everything seems to sometimes just look terrible. And I don't know if it's a case of trying to go the differential route too often or what it might be, but I don't know.
It might honestly be not often enough is one thing that I was thinking about earlier today. It's like,
what do you mean?
Well, like, we talk so thoroughly about every game, every player, like, who's an option, who's a good pick, that I feel like most of the season, most of my moves are very sensical. Because we, like, bounce shit off each other, you know, I tweet back and forth with people, I'm on Reddit and all that shit. It's like, yeah, like, Spurs, obvious move, like, blah, blah, blah. Whereas, like, in my past, or at least just in my thoughts late at night, I'm always thinking about, like, the mad scientist move. Like, you got Yaya and Ramsey. Like, that's fun. That's like, but it wasn't, those are insane, hasn't been good. Picks. I know,
it's been,
but,
horrible.
I know, but it's also Yaya's a big part of the reason you got a green this week.
Yeah, but he's a big part of the reason why I got reds the previous three.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know but what the right answer is.
You say that, and then we look back, rewind to double game weeks last year, right? First time we get our wild card late, double game weeks in 34-37. Spurs have a plum. Spurs are rolling the league over. Ollie's cheap as fuck. Everyone has him. Everyone has Kane. They have a single game week when everyone else has doubles. Everyone wild cards in 33. And in that single game week in game week 34 last year, when all of us got rid of Spurs players, Ollie, Kane, they all double returned.
Yeah,
got
they
it clean.
Mass. It was and like 4-0 or something. Yeah.
And I mean, we saw it coming. Like, they're playing a good, they have a great fixture home against a bad team, but they only play one game. Like, maybe we'll get lucky and they'll get, you know, 6 points or 5 points or something.
Yeah.
But they got 14 and 12, and they did better than the double game weekers we replaced them with in the same price bracket.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing that we look at this week, for example. Sunderland are the worst team in the league by far. They just sold, like, everyone. They get in fucking two rejects from Everton, a couple of their African guys back on their cups, and they all of a sudden can clean Spurs at home. Like, the things don't add up, and then, it's, you know, you need the luck to go your way sometimes, and
yeah,
sometimes it does, and
yeah,
sometimes it doesn't.
It does, sometimes it doesn't, yeah. It's
when
truth.
It rains, it pours kind of a thing, and it's a tough thing because we look at hindsight for captaincy last week, for example. We're between three players, right? We're looking at Kane, Ibra, and Alexis, or in your case, Ali, Ibra, and Alexis, and on the balance of things, Hull, tough nut to crack. It wasn't a stunner that they kept that clean because they've been putting in consistently good performances
yeah,
in the last five or so. We called it, and they've played each other three times in the last 2 weeks, and Hull looked great. And it was maybe a little unlucky. Ibra blanked. Pogba probably should have scored that clean through when he chipped him through. But on the balance of things, the nil-nil was a good result for that in that game. And we look at Alexis. Like, he didn't do anything in the first half when Giroud played. Wenger finally subbed him off for the second half, and then that's when Alexis playing down the middle. That's when we want to captain him, and then that's when he gets his return, you know. And he gets 4 points, which is a horrible return for a captaincy, but for this week, it was better than anything else possible.
Yeah, I think the FPL account tweeted, like, the top 15 most popular captains, KDB is the only one to return a goal.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, and I'm surprised KDB is even in the top 15. I didn't know there were 15 KDB owners.
It's probably just dead teams. Yeah, the actual 15 people.
But then Spurs, I mean, that was the one thing that we're taking the information that's given to us, and it was all as though Spurs were playing Hull, for example, because Sunderland put in a performance and they shut up shop and they didn't allow any, all the good chances fell to Wanyama, which has to just be a Moyes masterclass because that's obviously not a threatening or dangerous person to have these chances fall to. And we just missed the mark. But on another day, that could have been a 6-0, and if we didn't get Ali in your case, or Ali and Kane in my case, and then it was 6-0, and we're sitting here with, like, dick fucking asshole who got 3 and 5 points or something, we could miss out on huge hauls, so.
It was logical. It just hurts extra hard when, like, logic burns you, because you're just like, fuck, I did everything right. But, yeah, I mean, that's, in a way, that's the beauty of it, because I remember when I was trying to convince Dugan to get into fantasy football because he never played any fantasy before, but he was addicted to Hearthstone. And I was like, it's like Hearthstone. You just build a deck, right? That's your team. You build a deck, and then you get to go watch them actually play. And based on what the actual humans do on the screen is based on what happens in your deck. But,
yeah, I mean, it's all, it's similar to stocks.
There's so much unpredictable. Yeah, stocks. Yeah,
stocks or chess or any strategy game. It's the same thing. It's just we're playing with, like, real-life humans, even though they don't know they're on our physical or our fantasy teams.
Yeah, maybe we just need to let them know that, like, I really need a dong right now.
Yeah. Like, Ramsey, don't get hurt after 3 minutes.
Yeah, you haven't even been back for, like, a month, dude. We need some more time from you.
Oh, God. Ramsey's gone, so gone this week. All right. Enough about our miserable
Sunderland's third
existences.
Clean of the season.
Actual third?
Third clean of the season.
Against Spurs. Of course, against Spurs.
Why wouldn't it be against Spurs?
It has to be against Spurs when we bring them in and cap them.
Ugh.
Let's just immediately hit on the blank game.
Yeah, let's transition to what the fuck happened and talk about music. What the fuck. Yeah, let's go fucking talk to me about the blank game weeks. What, Adam, what are blank game weeks?
A blank game week, Alon, is when a team does not have a game in a game week in Fantasy Premier League, meaning a team does not play in Game Week 26 because they're involved in the League Cup final. Therefore, that game gets postponed to a later date, and that gives that team a double game week.
So a team won't play in Game Week 26, but then on a later date, they'll have two games in one game week? That's insane. Yes.
It's crazy. I can't keep this up.
So, okay, we have the four confirmed that are blanking on Game Week 26. So that's Arsenal, City, Man City, United, and Southampton.
A lot of players there. I mean, you're looking at three sides that have premium options in all of our teams. The kicker to this is that the FA Cup round five that's going to be played in a couple weeks, what's looking like it will happen is that any Premier League team that wins that FA Cup round five game will have a blank in Game Week 28 also. So as we know, a lot of Premier League teams are in the FA Cup still, and none of them are playing each other. So there's a high probability that there is a very low quantity of games in Game Week 28 as well. City, Arsenal, United, for example, they're blanking in 26. We already know that. They're all playing, you know, championship or below caliber sides in FA Cup round five. So it's likely that two or three of them will progress. So we're looking at two blanks from those teams in a three-game week period. I don't know. What are your thoughts on holding anyone from those teams, like Alexis or Zlatan, for example?
Yeah, that's tough. It's really tough because you're missing out on so much, especially in Arsenal's case, have a really hard schedule surrounding the blanks. But off the top of my head, I think Alexis would be like the only one I would keep probably if I had guys spread through those teams, just because he's just so consistent and just been far and away the best player in all of fantasy at any position all season. And I don't really see that stopping, especially with Walcott back, etc. He's probably going to move back up top because Arsenal are better when he's up top and Giroud's on the bench, which means he's even better than he has been for the last month or so. Even longer than a month, 6 weeks or so. And I have a lot of money invested in him, which most people probably do. We've had him for so long now. He went up a lot since the beginning of the season. I don't know how much money I can check, but I'm sure it's a lot.
I mean, let's look at that, because this is another thing that I think is unusual this season to seasons past, is the transfer market's been very volatile. It's moved very quick.
Yeah.
I bought Alexis at 11.3. I can sell him at 11.6. He's at 11.9. He has two blanks in 3 weeks. There's no chance that he will not at least triple drop down to the 11.6 that me or you could sell him at.
Yeah, that's
true. So if you're looking at selling Alexis in advance of Game Week 26, you miss whatever points he gets in 27, and then he's obviously not playing in 28. So you're looking at basically getting someone in for Alexis, any midfielder in the game, because he's the most expensive midfielder in the game. You get 3 weeks out of the midfielder you replace him with versus 1 week of Alexis.
No, you're spot on.
You just bring Alexis back in for what you sell him for, or if the market is as insane as we think, or we don't know if it's going to be a red flag and maybe it doesn't happen, but he's not going to not drop at least 0.3 in those 3 weeks.
No, you're spot on. When you lay it out like that, it's so clear. To add on top of that, the game in Game Week 27 is at Liverpool. So yeah, it's a low point ceiling type of game that you're going to miss. So it doesn't feel that bad to kind of hold your breath while still, you know, a high percentage of people own him.
And then, in Game Week 28, for example, Game Week 29, after the blank, he's the first person you transfer back in. You just get him back at West Brom, you get him back in, he's the first name back in, and, you know, you're back to where you started, kind of, right?
Yeah, that feels actually completely right to me. He's definitely going to drop. Even if people, you know, because there's still, like, a lot of people who play this game who don't listen to our pod or aren't that into it, as we are that won't know that he's even gonna be blanking in 26, and they're just gonna get a zero, and then they'll transfer him out. You know, like, I wouldn't be surprised if his 0.3 drop happened in game week 27, not in game 26. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it happens every year where it's like maybe people won't know, and then all of a sudden on Friday night before the blank, everyone's like, oh shit, he's not playing, and they get rid of him and he'll drop. And then, as you say, like, they'll see that he didn't play, he'll drop. He's going to drop. He's going to plummet. It's the same thing with Zlatan, I think that.
Yeah, and there's such ridiculously high ownership that.
Exactly. So I think, like, the ownership's so high that what you're selling these players at, you'll be able to buy them back at the exact same price, if not a little bit lower, because they're going to be at least triple dropping Zlatan and Alexis.
Zlatan, Alexis, probably even Aguero.
Well, Aguero's in a triple drop this week, probably.
Yeah, that's true. Wow, but, he is fallen from grace.
We'll get there. But I think that's the thing. But it's also, I wanted to touch on another thing with this. Is this happens every fucking year also, is that we go almost in hyper and overdrive about planning to get 11 players for this huge blank game week. And then we fuck our teams up. And then for game week 29, we're sitting with like all these players from West Ham, Swansea, Hull, who we don't want on our teams. So I think there is that balance that we're going to have to look at. And we'll see who wins in the fifth round of the FA Cup. But I think, for example, like holding your Spurs players and putting them on the bench for 28, you know, you want to have a good core still when game week 29 comes around, because even though you field 11 players, doesn't mean they all score. I mean, if you field 11 players and four of them blank, you're not getting that much up on your competition who have zeros in their stead. You know?
Yeah, it feels like the best way to do it is kind of have all three of your bench spots are guys who blank on game week 28 that you want to keep for the rest of the season, right? Mm-hmm. You want to fill all those slots, and then hopefully you can make up a team of 11 other guys that are kind of cheap, kind of like you upgrade your fifth midfielder, you make sure your fifth defender's playing both game weeks, shit like that, so you can field the maximum number of players.
Yeah. Around the fringes.
Yeah, and so there are six teams that are confirmed to have a game in game week 28. What?
That was good. I like that. I don't know what that was, but I liked it.
Yeah, I'm just stumbling, you know. So that's Bournemouth, Everton, Hull, Swansea, West Brom, West Ham are all confirmed to have games in game week 28, but they're the only teams confirmed. So there's going to be a million blanks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll probably have two or three additional teams games added on there. We're gonna get some FA Cup upsets.
There'll be some upsets,
but for the most part you're gonna be looking at a very slim grouping for game week 28. But I think, you know, it's as we're talking about is finding the balance of getting players on the fringes but not fucking your core up. But then it's also an interesting thing is that game week 29, right, that's when everything's back and we're back to normal, there's no more blanks and we only have doubles to look ahead. If they have the doubles the same as they did last year, which would be in game week 34 and 37, we're all wildcarding in game week 33. So you only need to get through 29 to 32, which is not, it's four game weeks that you need to get through before you get to pop your wild card and then load up on doublers. So it's like, you could, I think, make the reasoned argument of purging players like Alexis and Zlatan and maybe getting one of them or whatever back, looking at the fixtures and still fielding 11 for game week 28 when there are a lot of blanks, but still like maybe taking a hit and still having a reasonable team for that 4 week interim before you wild card.
Yeah, I see what you mean. We could look a little bit further ahead and figure out what teams have nice fixtures for those four. Right. Maybe making it a little less important to get back everyone that we already had.
Right. Because we're gonna load up, like, you know, we have Ollie, right? And we don't have any value tied in him. Do we need to keep him through 28? Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Maybe we just get rid and then we get him back for our wild card in 33, or we get him in between the two. You know, I think there's a lot of factors for sure, but I don't know. It's fun.
Yeah,
times.
There's also no right answer because, as we covered in the first part of the section, it's a fucking mess, and we're trying to predict this game that's unpredictable. So we're just trying to put ourselves in the best position to field the maximum number of players and have the best teams through the blanks. Yeah.
And I mean, we're taking hits like now to try and field more players for the blank game week, but we're also doing that keeping in mind that the players we're getting in, like Brunt, for example, I got him for a hit this past week. I'm still looking at it was a -2 instead of a 4, but also that I think he's going to get me some points between now and 26. So
right, you're not just getting hits in like some shitty ass players because they have a game. Yeah,
yeah. So it's all the things.
Yeah, I have two frees. I'll have to definitely focus on that. I'll also try and like retweet. I know this dude on Twitter. I think his name is Ben Krellen. I'll retweet his shit. He made this like spreadsheet where you can kind of follow it maybe a little easier so you can make sure that the guys you bring in are playing, etc.
Okay.
Okay.
What else do you want to talk about? I don't want to talk about plans anymore. I want to talk about things.
Yeah, I know. The things were all so dark to me. You lead the way.
Okay. I mean, there was only one game this entire, or one team this whole week that scored more than 2 goals, and that was City. What do we make of this Man City side? They turned West Ham aside. Last time they played, it was a 5-0 fucking walloping. Today it was 4-0. Kun on the bench. Jesus Christ up top with Leroy, Boondock, Sané, and Razzy Raz. Is that the future? What are they doing? Is it too much rotation to risk it? Kevin's playing a little bit more deep with Silva in midfield.
But still
both got big, both still got great returns. I mean, they looked like City of old. They were fluid. They were firing.
I feel like I should do some editing right now and bring back the clip of me talking about them last week. Because what I said last week is the thing to watch out for is the formation and the lineup. And if he runs out the same kind of lineup where he plays like 55 attackers in an 11-man team, they're going to start turning sides over and scoring 3+ every game like they kind of did early in the season. And they played the exact same kind of lineup even without Kun. I mean, it's not like Jesus is, I mean, he's fucking amazing, let's be honest. he's really fucking good. And then they played all their attacking midfielders with Yaya the only one deep. And even Yaya is not like a traditional like holding midfielder. He's not like fucking Conte or something. Like, he can do stuff. So, I mean, yeah, I think it is the future. I think City went through a progression of dominating the league, they're going to walk the league, this is a joke, Pep is God, to what the fuck are they doing, to they're going to tighten up and kind of be like annoying but still win games, and then they get fucking turned over by Everton. And that was like, that just signaled time for change. And Pep is like, I'm starting all these fucking assholes, I have all these young, sexy attackers. Like, let's just do this. And they dominated Tottenham, and then they just rolled over West Ham.
Yeah, it seems like he's starting to find his footing in both the league of what he has to do tactically against a side like West Ham. You know, he's not starting Fernandinho and Yaya and doing like some 4-2-3-1. He's being aggressive and playing all these kids and just pressing and going nuts on them.
I mean, it's what I always want managers to do. You know, like, yeah, you look
play,
back.
Play your
like,
opponent.
Yeah, like if Poch had to redo this blank against Sunderland, you think he starts fucking Wanyama? Why would you? Like, they're just going to be a double-decker park bus in the box all day. You don't need Wanyama. Your team's going to have 95% of the ball. Any chance they get is going to be like Defoe 2-on-1 with your defenders. Just start like go fucking Pep style and just fucking end the game early. He just ended the game so early. It was not competitive. But yeah, it seems like this is the way forward. We just don't know about Aguero, Jesus, if they're ever going to be on the pitch together. And maybe like Sterling is the one who's dropped. That's the only like kind of question mark. But KDB, Silva, even Sané, you feel like are kind of safe. I feel like they're kind of safe.
I don't think I see the same thing like that. I think that no one's safe. I think he has so many players at his disposal and his whims and moods. He could play any formation, any grouping. If he's going to drop Aguero just because of whatever the fuck he saw in training or whatever, I think De Bruyne is probably the safest option of everybody.
I think he's definitely the safest, yeah.
Yeah. But we saw, and I mean, I guess Yaya, but he's playing fucking central defense, so he's bad. But I think even Silva, like with Dinho back, it gives him another option, and then between Raz, Sané, and Jesus and Aguero. That's like two for four spots, really, or three for four. He's going to be rotating. He's been doing it all season. I think
Champions League soon.
Champions League's coming. It's going to be a fucking nightmare. So I still feel like if it's either De Bruyne or just stay away. Maybe like Sané is cheap enough at 7.5 that if you have a 5 plus, but he'll still probably come on a sub. I don't know. I'm still uneasy. I still think that he's going to be rotating and playing different formations consistently for the rest of the season. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's really, really, really tricky. I just feel like this is their first good run in a while. They also have really easy fixtures next three or four. Right. So it should be a similar kind of game plan, I would assume. You know, like home Swansea at Bournemouth, at Sunderland, home Stoke. They're just going to try and score four and just win with their attack.
Right.
So I feel like someone like Sané is really interesting maybe for this short little run or something. But I don't know. It fucking sucks. They're probably going to blank. I mean, they are blanking already in 26, and they're probably going to blank in 28.
Yeah, that's what does it for me.
You're burning a transfer on someone else that you're going to want to transfer out.
Yeah, and it's just such a short window to make the points back up before you might have to sell again. It's tough.
Yeah, so that kind of makes it probably a no-go, even though it feels bad to
it does
watch
seem
them
like,
score four and not have any part of it.
Yeah, I mean, it does seem like when they, especially because their defenders are pretty cheap and Willy Caballero is back, when it's double game week time, that we'll all have three.
Yeah, we'll probably all have three. Yeah. Like Kevin, Sterling, and Jesus or something.
Yeah. So on the other side of the coin, I mean, West Ham were playing some pretty good stuff recently and they just got fucking destroyed. But they're one of those teams that have no blank. I mean, are you still looking at their assets? Snoddy came off the bench. Antonio looked pretty good. He was like the best player.
Yeah, I think Antonio's still interesting.
Antonio. Lanzini fucking didn't play, basically.
Yeah, I still feel like... I've kind of always felt like Antonio's...
He's the one?
The guy. Yeah, I mean, he's... We all had him earlier in the season for a reason, you know? That wasn't like, let's all take a punt right now. Like, his stats were amazing. He was showing his quality. He was returning at a really, really high rate. And he scored a lot of goals last year, too. I just feel like it almost doesn't matter where he plays. He plays right back, right wing back, right winger, left winger, or striker, and he's still their most threatening option in any of those scenarios. So, I don't know. I still feel kind of... He tickles me a little bit. He gets me a little juiced up.
Yeah, I think he's a good option for sure, especially because after their fixtures are pretty good now. They got a lot better.
Yeah, they have at Southampton, but no VVD and no Font. That's kind of good. Mm-hmm. And then, home West Brom, at Watford, home Chelsea, at Bournemouth, home Leicester, at Hull. Yeah, I mean, they're good except for home Chelsea at Arsenal up until we'll be wildcarding.
Right.
That's pretty tempting.
Yeah. It's pretty tempting, I think.
It's medium tempting. Their defense, I don't really know.
No, they're bad. Their defense is just bad.
It's just the same as last year, right? It's just bad.
Yeah. Even with Font in, it's just... But he plays four at the back today. He's going to play three at the back tomorrow. It's just all over the shop.
I mean, no Font in, what do we always make fun of Font for? He immediately concedes a pen. First start.
Yeah, he's good at that.
He's really, really good at that.
Yeah. Let's go over to happier times and at the South Coast this week. I understand that Bournemouth had a game. Who'd they play?
Bournemouth Watford.
No. Like yesterday.
I don't know.
Oh, Palace. I think they played Palace. Oh, it was 2-0 to Big Fat.
Oh! Wow, Big Sam turning the team around. I can't wait for the insane hyperbole of every fucking English podcast. It's just going to be like, Big Sam's proven he's done it before. He's turning this club around. I love it.
Meanwhile, everyone who's slated Mario Suarez for being manager of Hull just gets a point at Old Trafford.
Yeah, love that. So, Palace, tell me about him. Do you think they're going to tighten up? Is Dan maybe a sneaky good option coming up? Zaha's back. How is he gone?
it's just everything. It was by far the best performance that we've had all season across any competition. Everyone was working hard. Everyone was positionally in the right place. We played a new formation with three at the back. It was kind of fluid. It was like a 3-4-3, 3-5-2 kind of thing where MacArthur had a lot of license to roam forward. Zaha was playing off Benteke for a spell. Punchin was pretty mobile. Cabaye played really nicely. Everything was just working. And Van Aanholt slotted right in, and he was playing the same exact kind of way he played for Sunderland. He had some nice touches in the box. He had a couple of half chances that he fucked up. But it looks like with getting Sacco in moving forward, we're going to be probably looking at Dan, Sacco, and then maybe Tompkins or Ward as a 3-5-2, I think we're going to do going forward. I think we're going to be pretty solidly three at the back.
I'm so happy you guys got Sacco. I also love that you pronounce it Sacco.
Sacco.
I say Sacco. I have no idea what you said, but I love it.
Either all of a sudden we have fucking 50 million defenders. Schlupp's great. Suarez back on the training ground. He might be back before the end of the season. Sacco's a ball playing center back. We can get rid of Delaney because he's a fucking surplus to requirement championship player, 40-year-old. And Dan, yeah, I mean, he's an option, but he's the most expensive. I'd take PVA for 0.2 cheaper, probably. Dan's always got that set-piece goal threat, but Van Aanholt has set-piece direct free kick goal fest. Yeah, so,
and then Saka's the cheapest of the bunch, which is kind of weird how that worked out because he's plummeted so much as a Liverpool defender that he's coming in as the cheapest one.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's going to maintain when he slots in our formation, but he was always really good on bonus when he played with Liverpool as a center back. So we'll see.
Because of that passing percentage and shit. Yeah.
Either way, I mean, I think that we're going to keep some clean sheets at home. We have some home bankers coming up for the rest of the season. I think that we're playing really tight in general, and we're going to probably keep some away clean sheets. We look like we're a Sam team now. We also got that Serbian Milovic, who makes us younger at CDM, where we already have, you know, a handful with Ledley, Cabaye, MacArthur, but they're all Flamini, but they're all pushing 30, so he's 25. We'll probably bet him in slowly, but I think that with Zaha's obviously looks incredible. He could have returned on another day. He just looked amazing. He's down to 5.5 now, back to his starting price. He looks great. And then, I mean, Benteke up top, I still think he's not an option. He looked terrible. He was the worst player on the pitch for Palace by far, I think, by my estimation.
His goal
was very lucky. It was just right place, right time. Townsend made, chased a lost cause, got a turnover, put a cross on his head on a pillow, and Benteke couldn't have possibly not scored. But, he worked a little harder in this game, but he's still just... We have more quality around the flanks than we have done in the past couple months, but I just don't see Benteke as really being a firing option, especially if pens are off of his plate. I don't know. I'm very pessimistic on Benteke.
Yeah,
I think
you sound very pessimistic, which is sad for me because I still have Giroud, and I thought about him a little bit because I'll probably downgrade to someone as opposed to upgrading. But yeah, I have to definitely hope that, like, Fulham can beat Tottenham in the FA Cup, so Zaha would be such a nice option to bring in as, like, replace my fifth midfielder with Zaha if he's playing in 26 and 28. Would just be so nice.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think that's kind of state of the union on Palace. I think, realistically, there are several options in defense that you could look at. Schlupp, he should be back by the weekend, or if not next week. Van Aanholt, Sacco, Dan, depending on how we set up. It might be nice to give it a couple games and see who's really playing out of position there.
Yeah.
Zaha, I think, is an incredible value at 5.5, as he was proving before he left to Africa. And then, yeah, I mean, Benteke, I don't see it.
Okay,
just don't
good
see
to
it.
Know on Benteke. Yeah, dude, Palace, what a fucking huge win. Good for you.
Yeah, we're still getting relegated, but it was a great one.
No, come on. Do you think so?
Yeah, we're still in the zone. Fucking
you're still
Swansea.
In the zone, but do you actually think you're
going to
get relegated?
Top four team. I don't know. I have no idea.
That's tough.
It's still, I mean, last week it was about the next five, and now it's about the next four, because looking at our fixtures for the rest of the season after the next four, which are all legitimately winnable games, we have murder. We have Spurs, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, City, United.
We have every top eight team, basically.
Yeah. Interchanging with mediocre to possibly winnable games in between, which is going to put so much pressure on us in those games to get points. I don't know.
Yeah, that's tough.
I think we still need actual three wins in the next four to really feel good.
Yeah, so the next four are home, Sunderland, at Stoke, home, Borough, at West Brom. Yeah.
I think we could win three of those.
Yeah.
Or if not, if we win two, you know, we get 7 points in those four games, I think we'd be in pretty good shape.
I agree. Go get it.
What else?
There was the big Liverpool-Chelsea match. That was very entertaining. Got me a little bit out of the funk for the Tuesday. I mean, not that a draw is great or anything, but Liverpool finally put in their best performance of 2017, I would say. Could have won, but also easily could have lost if Miggs didn't save the pen. It was just a great game. It's good to see. Okay. Every tough team dropped points this week except City. So, I mean, Chelsea, the title race is over, right?
Yeah, probably. But forget about fucking actual footy. Let's talk about FPL. So Liverpool, you're getting Mane back. He'll start this week at Hull.
Yeah.
You're going to get your preferred front three back when you guys are scoring four a game for fun. Do you think it's time to invest back in Liverpool, or are you still a little bit nervous about those fixtures? Because right now is when the other competitions start picking back up. You guys, just like Chelsea, have the benefit of not being in any other competitions, while your, you know, Arsenals and Cities are going to have to be rotating in midweek games and flying abroad. Do you think it's time to get back in Liverpool, even though the fixtures are tough, or what?
Yeah, and just to interject, also Spurs and United are in Europa, so they're flying even to fucking fuckland. Who knows where they're going for their games? It's going to be like Serbia and shit. I mean, yeah, I do. I think it's time. I mean, we only scored one this week. I'm really stuttering a lot today.
Are you having strokes? Is this a stroke?
Yeah, it's like a little too late to pod. This is a fucking late pod, and I'm just like really off my game right now.
Fucking telling me you stayed up watching like fucking tennis till 6 a.m.
Staying up and like not speaking, and I'm just like in my fucking PJs or something. I'm like in a robe. Watching tennis is much different than like potting, dude, where it's like maximum brain power.
So tennis is more entertaining to you than potting with me, great.
Not more. What?
Whoa. Wow.
You're spinning this out of control. But yeah, you know, Liverpool, they only scored one goal, but it was Chelsea, you know? I mean, they're by far the best defense in the league. I still think Coot is not up to his, you know, old tricks yet. He doesn't seem 100% fit yet. He came off early again, but he'll get there soon. Mane also was just used as a sub, so it wasn't really our strongest lineup at Chelsea. We still managed to scrape one in, which is nice, but like Lallana was playing front three, not in center mid, you know. It still wasn't the old Scousers going after it, and I think that will probably hit the ground running. I mean, at Hull this week, all of a sudden, is kind of a tricky fixture. I'm like a little bit worried about it because their defense has been like so fucking good. I mean, since
how
the
many goals
changed.
Will Grosicki score against you?
Oh my god, Grosicki just 10. Fucking ledge. Yeah, him and like Abel. Him and Abel on the break is fucking fierce.
No, dude, fuck Abel. Him and Maguire on the break.
Oh my god, I love Maguire, dude. Maguire's actually he's just good. Like he used to be a joke, but like he's good.
He's so good. If he was on Southampton, you guys would buy him in the summer for 30 mil.
35 million. Yeah. Fucking ridiculous. But no, I do think that the time for Liverpool reinvestment is right around the corner despite the fixtures. I mean, one thing that you can say about Klopp, who I still think people are like not, some people are like not that sold on or whatever, is they have one loss ever against any of the top six teams. Like, we always get points against these top teams. So, like, seeing from a fantasy perspective, seeing, like, Spurs, home Arsenal at City in the next, like, 6 weeks, I still, as a Liverpool fan and from fantasy perspective, I'm still just like, we're getting points in those games. Like, we're gonna score goals and get points in those games.
I feel like it's been a little bit unusual, though, because you always feel good going into those games that you're going to get points from a real-life perspective, but you don't score three. I mean, those are always tight games. The wins are 1-0, 2-1, 2-0.
Last year we were scoring three, But yeah, but you're
what
right.
year
you're
is
right
it now? I mean, you haven't been putting a few past. It's that was last year, not this year. So even though it looks like maybe you'll have the leg up and win the game, it's still not good for a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, yeah. it's a matter of are we going to go back to early season or not, though? And I feel like it's more towards yes. I feel like the dip in form is ending. And early doors, I mean, we scored 4 against Arsenal, 2 against Chelsea before they switched formation. But still, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. There were still fantasy points to be had in those games.
Yeah, tits to tot.
No, there were tits to tot. And then you interject like Hull, Leicester, Burnley, you know.
That's
with,
when you buoy your point total.
Yeah, and then starting from like game week 31 on, we play every bad team.
All right. Yeah, 31, it's that changes. And then
yeah,
it's like,
once it's wild card for like double game week or whatever, it's going to be
a frenzy.
Yeah, it's going to be a frenzy.
Can't wait for that. Bloodbath.
God.
What else are we looking at? What do we want to touch on before we fucking wrap it and go to our teams and shit?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm so out of it right now.
Everton suck. Aguero sucks. He's fucking fodder. You got to get rid. Yeah. Spurs suck. Yeah. Zlatan sucks.
United are so... I mean, that's United it's one of the small bits of joy I got this week was watching United because they were just comically bad. They were no different whatsoever. I don't give a shit what anyone says to Louis van Gaal, Moyes, bullshit. It was just, let's just cross a million fucking times against the 3 biggest center backs in all of Hull. Just fucking Dawson, Maguire, and that fucking Italian guy. I forgot his name. They're all like 6'5" and just heading out the easiest things ever. Jakubovic had to make a couple good saves, but they were so bad. And just, it's amazing this year, more than any other year, how quickly guys are in and out of favor because there's so many good options. Like, what was it, 2, 3 weeks ago where Zlatan, I would have been like absolute must own. You know, he scored like pretty much every week for 2 months.
Yeah, and then 3 weeks later, it's just like, yeah, you could do without.
Yeah, like he looks horrible against Liverpool, but scores. Horrible against Stoke and blanks. Horrible against Hull blanks. It's just like, nah, fuck him.
Yeah, he hasn't had a single, like, he's had a few big games, but he's had a weird season, man.
Yeah, he's just, it's amazing what he's doing at an old age, but you're lying to yourself if you're saying that his old age doesn't show. Like, these counterattacks and shit, they'll, like, win the ball back from Hull, and their whole team is countering. And he's just, like, standing there with his dick in his hand outside the box. It's like, dude, run forward. You have, like, a 5-on-3 right now. Go forward, and you'll score. And he's just like, nah.
Chilling,
brah. fucking Zlat.
All right. I mean, I don't know. I think are we good? Everyone knows like kind of like the good defenses and shit.
Yeah, I think we're pretty good right now.
Good.
I mean, there'll be a lot to line up lament about. I have two.
Oh wait. One thing.
Oh,
so there's 2 days off until the weekend. Are we going to see rotation or what? Because teams have normally like the week off. What do you think we're going to be?
There's only
seeing
2 days
some
off. Oh yeah, Thursday, yeah, Friday. I mean, yeah. Interesting. I have not thought about that at all. I mean, Chelsea, Arsenal, definitely not rotation, and they're going to play their strongest teams. But I'll have to think on that more. I don't know. I haven't prepared. I'm unprepared. Okay.
I'm just trying to think because you know when we look at in the past or when the fixture pile up when you have these weeks that the turnaround's really short. We caution against using transfers. We don't know who's going to start. You know, if teams rotate or this. But I don't know. Maybe this is a different case because after the weekend, it's a normal recovery period of time. And at this stage, unless if you're, you know, Everton or Southampton, every game is very important.
Yeah, it seems like probably not that much rotation. If anything, it'd be something exciting, like maybe like Gabbiadini. Maybe he starts for Soton or some shit like that, or you know, some other like Grosicki or something. It seems like it'd be more additions this weekend than subtractions. just like getting better players into me. I don't know.
I hope Gorsicki comes into the fucking four.
Gorsicki's real, dude.
He's so good.
He's really good. Chick,
dude, this is the fucking exact same feeling I got when Stoke bought Shaqiri. I was just like, oh my God, I fucking love him so much. Yeah. I hope he's the best thing
ever. It was right after Shaqiri tore up the fucking World Cup and we were freaking out.
Yeah.
And this is the exact same.
Yeah, Gorsicki was like our favorite player in Euros.
Wrecked Euros, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck. Damn. Maybe it's Gorsicki time. Yeah, maybe I'll turn fucking Darun into Gorsicki.
Yeah, but then it's like, okay, Zaha's the same price. Or
it's fucking ridiculous. But Zaha is not guaranteed a game in 28.
Blanks are bad.
Blanks are bad. All right,
so what are we doing here? I'm going to captain Kane again.
Let's go captain's cleans. You're captaining Kane again? Home Burrow? Burrow's tough. Burrow's top five defense in the league.
I don't care about Burrow so much anymore. They're injured. I don't know. Fucking Burrow, dude. They're top five defensively. Fuck you, dude. They're like 17th in the league.
I mean,
they're
easily bottom five team, but yeah. That's only because you also have to score goals.
Yeah, I just think that the fixtures for everyone else don't look great. Home, I'm just thinking maybe they turn them over. I don't know.
I wish Lotz was in fucking form because at Leicester's kind of nice.
Leicester's, granted, they've been better at home than they have been on the road this season, but they still look like pushovers.
They're tied on points with Swansea. I don't fucking care what they do at home. They're bad.
Your Burrow logic is coming through.
I know we were just talking about how it's a really bad idea probably to bring in a City player that you're going to want to transfer out, but... Man, home Swans.
Not if you bring them in and captain them.
Home Swans is woo. That's scenic. But
would you bring anyone in other than Kev?
And why don't I just do Alexis to Kev?
Yeah, but I mean, okay, that's a thing that you could do in the world, but
that's bad. Get Kev for home Swans at Bourne
and captain him.
Why not?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm either going to go up 8K or go down 60K. So why don't I just have some fun in the fucking fire pit while I'm doing it?
Alexis has home haul after the Chelsea game his blank.
Is that good?
It's not good. It's not at Chelsea. I mean, there could still be points there. If he's playing central striker and Giroud's a piece of shit. I mean, I'm captaining Alexis that game for sure.
Yeah, and he's probably going to be playing striker.
Yeah,
That's scary. I have two frees, and it's going to be a long think. I'm going to have a long look in the mirror.
Well, look, you're looking at your squad, right?
I feel like Giroud. I need like a whiteboard to like think about transfers. I need to do more like physical writing than just clicking around. I need something more tangible.
I do that at work, actually. Like, I write shit down and I create little like graphs and models.
Yeah, that could be good for you. I need to do that.
Yeah, that could be good for you.
I'm ordering a whiteboard.
Realistically, Phil Jones, serious problem.
Yeah, he's got to go. He's hurt. Although it's a minor injury, they have the double blank coming up. And yeah, he's not even secure and it starts anyway. Yeah. So,
however, you have Holes, who you could start in his place for this weekend, home Burnley, and put Jones off to another day because it's not that big of a deal for you this
weekend. Easily have three good starters this weekend. Yep.
Yeah, but... Giroud is a huge problem.
He's obviously number one. Yeah.
And so is Stanislas. Like, he plays 60 minutes, and
I mentioned him in lineup lambs. Like, he was always going to be out after this week.
Yeah. So I think those are either you address Stanislas or you upgrade Giroud and you put Stanislas as your fifth midfielder, that's what I would personally do.
I think that's what I'm going to do, and we talked about this before we potted, but the reason that I love that move so much is that, I mean, Stan's cheap as fuck, so he's not like that ridiculously crazy to have as my fifth mid, but also Bournemouth play game week 26 and 28. So by making that move to upgrade Darun, I'm kind of making two moves in one. I'm killing 80 birds with one stone just to get in some backup for the blanks, which is nice.
Yeah,
I think that's what I'll to probably Giroud and Daroon out. I don't even know.
The problem is, who do you get for Giroud?
Yeah, it's all a problem.
That's the main problem.
It's all a fucking problem, dude. Everything's okay. A problem.
All right.
What forward? Yeah, what forward? I don't want any forward in the world right now. I want Luis Suarez. Is the only person I want on my fucking team.
You want La Liga forwards and then Premier League goalie.
Yes, dude. That's all I want. God. Give me like fucking Clintu Dempsey as my forward right now. I'd buy that.
The forwards are bad.
There's bad forwards. Even the good forwards are bad.
Yeah.
Kuhn's bad. Ibra's bad. Costa's kind of bad. Lukaku, I'm not positive he touched the ball today.
Yeah, he had like two touches.
If someone put a gun to my head, though, and was like, if he didn't touch the ball, are you willing to die? Like, are you that confident? I would be like, no. He may have not touched it. I'm not positive. God.
Rami?
Yeah, I don't know what fucking shit I'm going to bring in. Maybe like Rondon or some fuck that I don't even want. I don't even want him.
I don't think Rondon's a play. He's been really bad.
He is bad, but he's just as bad as every other guy. Maybe like Llorente. They have games both weeks. Swansea are kind of good right now, I guess. I'd rather, of all the teams that are guaranteed a game week 28 game, I don't want Callum. I already have Lukaku. I don't want like Abel or Diamande. I don't want Rondon. I don't want Carroll. I guess I could go Dio and 352.
Yeah, but he doesn't play.
Yeah, he barely plays, I guess.
All right, I don't know.
That's a problem.
There's a big problem. We need to go deep on this.
I'm wild carding.
Too
soon.
We'll have to lambs this old.
Yeah, no, lineup lambs are going to be scenic this week. I hope you all fucking tune in.
Next 2 days will be big for us behind the scenes.
Huge next 2 days.
Yeah.
Okay. Fuck me. Okay, what are you doing?
I mean, Rams is the only real issue.
Wait, we didn't even really talk about captains.
Yeah, Ken.
Yeah, you're Captain Ken. I have no fucking idea who I'm captaining, though.
No?
No, I mean, if I bring in Kevin or something rogue like that, I'll captain him. But as of now, my team right now.
Bobby?
Yeah, maybe. It'll be the elite front three, Lallana back in center mid. Should be a festival. I mean, Lukaku, home Bournemouth. He's so fucking erratic.
Yeah, that's the thing.
He could easily score a Hattie. Easy.
The thing that was a hit, this is something I read like 3 weeks ago that hit home with me that I keep thinking about, is that with Lukaku, I was reading FFS forums and someone just wrote that we look at Lukaku as like he's like sick, but realistically, when we captain Lukaku, it's the same exact thing as captaining a striker on a mid-table team. That's what he is. He's a striker on a mid-table team. He's not someone in a top four side. We think Everton and him are better than they are, and they're not. So you take on considerable risk when you captain someone in that position. And I think Lukaku is almost like not really captainable because
they flash a top six side at their best.
Yeah.
But they normally also flash a bottom five side sometimes, like today. They had no right getting even a point out of that. They were absolute garbage.
Like captaining him is similar to me like last season captaining like Pella when he's like he's just a mid-table. Donkey striker. That's kind of the scenario that it is. And if you think of it more of like he's not as set, he's a little sexier because he like has sicker shit in him, but he runs off strings of blanks for fun. So I don't know. Lukaku's a tough one for me.
It's a good point to talk about because captaincy is like obviously it has to do with the player that you're actually captaining, but arguably more importantly, it has to do with the team. Because you always want to captain someone on a team that fucking dominates the other team. Like, we expected Spurs to just have 70% possession and 3+ goals. Minimum 3 goals. That seemed That's like what Vegas had the odds at. That's what we thought was going to happen. That's what everyone thought was going to happen. That's why you captain them. You don't captain them because like Lukaku's the best player on the pitch. Like Bournemouth could easily beat Everton. Why not? Good thing. Good point. Good. Very good point.
Yeah, it's just a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing.
I think about.
Maybe I'll go Bobby. I don't know.
But yeah, Ramsey's my thing. I mean, I have a 7-6 selling. I have 1.5 in the bank. I won free. I think I might get Siggy.
Oh, that hurts. Wow.
It hurts you because you just got rid of
it. Yeah, you just fucking turned that knife, dude.
I know, but dude, like, my
look
personal...
Look me in the eyes when you stab me in the back, Adam.
My personal Siggy relationship was I got him before anyone else got him. And he was like okay for a few games, and I got him mainly because I wanted him for their good fixture run. And then I got rid of him right before they started fucking festivaling.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about like in game week, what did I got in game week like 8 or something.
Yeah, no, and you're like the Siggy hipster. Like you had him a long time ago.
Yeah, I had him a long time ago. And I just feel like the fixtures look a lot better. They look better, and he seems like he could be a medium to long term hold.
Under the new manager, he has 2 assists, 2 goals in 4 matches.
Yeah, that's like I could see myself getting him in and holding him until I wild card, and that feels good. So I think that might be it, but I'm not sure. I might do Ramsey to Siggy, and then I can't not start Crouch again because he's just too good.
Elite talent.
He's too good.
The robot dance was absolute ridiculous scenes.
I mean,
he went from getting no bonus points to doing robot dance and being on max bones.
Yeah, I mean, he's gotten me 22 points in 3 game weeks, and he's a fucking legend, and he's cheaper than like my 4th defender. So I'm going to definitely give him the next 2 games, and then I'll fucking reassess. But yeah, I think I'll probably just do that, and I'll be flexible. I'll still have a lot of money in the bank, and ideally, I hold Crouch or double switch Darun. I don't know what I'm doing, but
God, that pisses me off. Siggy pisses me off so fucking much.
I know it doesn't make me like happy, but I think it's like after Barkley's shitting of beds today, I don't think I could justify getting Barkley in over Siggy.
No, especially because you're probably gonna get Rom in eventually.
Yeah, I mean I don't know if that's mutually exclusive because I only have bands, but I think just in a vacuum looking at Siggy on pens, on corners, on every fucking free, on a team with better fixture, on a team with good fixtures, better stats, just like Barkley. I don't know. I want both, but maybe I wait for a couple weeks for Barkley, but I don't know. Maybe I don't know.
That's a good move. It's a good move. It hurts me to say it's a good move.
But Siggy, like, playing City, it's just at City, that's not good.
It doesn't matter, dude. That's why you had him, that's why I had him. It doesn't matter.
He dunks. Yeah, he's
completely
fixture
proof. It doesn't matter at all.
You're right. I'm probably gonna go for that.
Home Southampton, that's not a good fixture. Even without Van Dijk, that Southampton's better through and through, by times a million better. And he fucking gets his biggest haul of the season. Doesn't fucking matter who he plays. God damn
All right. Sigmund Freud.
Yeah, even early in the season, his first 11 game weeks, he only had 2 goals. They were at Arsenal and home Chelsea.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who he plays.
Pens are so good.
Pens are the fucking thing. Pen 15.
I mean,
club.
The Yaya pen today. I just.
How did that feel? How did that feel?
God. It was the best moment in my life in the last month.
Oh, my God.
Easily. Like, I saw Raz just, like, I stood up when Raz was getting fucked. And then I saw him, like, kind of try and scamper to stay up, and then he fell back down. And I saw the pen motion, and I just, like, jumped up. I was just like, oh, my God, Yaya.
And then
like,
you hid behind your desk while he was shooting it?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was, like, standing behind my chair. I was, like, leaned on it, and I was, like, watching. I was just like... All right, like, let's go. And then it went in the back of the net, and I was just like, oh, my God. Like,
oh, my God.
I was so happy.
I can only pray to the not God that doesn't exist that I get some sort of moment like that because...
You deserve it.
I deserve it, man. Wow.
Wow.
Check us out at fmlpl.com. Follow on Twitter at fmlpl. Email us at fmlpl@gmail.com. Join the league. Wait for some friends.